with me, Jesse. You're no longer co-host. No. You're regular. No, you're substitute host. I'm here with Kizzle.
Hello.
Yeah, him.
Should I introduce myself?
Yeah, I probably should do that.
This is according to the show format, I believe. We had a complicated show format.
I don't know. I'm still playing Super Mario World.
I'm Kizzle. I created a show, you may have heard, Uberlito, that I haven't done for a year or so. And I created a little website called hackermedia.org that is probably where you found this show from. And I've done various other projects that really aren't worth mentioning. And that's who I am.
Yeah, you've done a lot more than I have. He's much more qualified to do the show. You should be hosting.
I have qualifications.
He's qualified. Now, you're wondering, where's Dan? He's always there. He has a family. He's literally locked in his house. Well, I don't know what actually he was doing, but he's not in his house. He's somewhere else. He can't record. Who knows? Go harass him. And where's everyone else? Who, like the foreign guy, or the other guy, or that other guy who seemed to randomly appear on the show from time to time? Well, I don't know where they are either. They're just not responding. Well, Devon said that he couldn't record for some reason. I don't know why.
Myself, I have really nothing to add on that because I'm not entirely sure if I've ever listened to the show before. I think I may have listened to a few minutes of it, but yeah, I think I remember a foreign guy, but it may have been on Linux like tech show.
Yeah, that's how we're describing people nowadays: the foreign guy, the monotone guy. Hell, we have a co-host who's never listened to the show before. This is professionalism, folks.
I don't need to listen to it. I invented all of this. I invented podcasts. You call this a podcast?
No. Well, I don't know. Dan might, but I hate podcasting as much as C4 does.
God bless you. I hate the term.
I seem to call it, like, audio file distributed by an RSS feed. That's a bit long.
I have a pretty novel name for it. Internet radio show. Wow.
But if you call it radio show, it assumes it's been over the radio waves.
Bah. Yeah, and podcast doesn't assume that it's on an Apple iPod.
Yeah, but it's two wrongs don't make a right.
Radio show is spoken word. It's really... radio show works far better. And that's why you prefaced it with internet.
Internet radio. Well, that's like saying it's a flying road plane. It's not on the road. It's a flying road? No, plane.
I guess you win.
Yeah. So it is a audio file distributed by an RSS feed.
Now we have a show format that
we have broken within the first 10 minutes.
It's about 5 lines long. okay, yeah, we're using not Skype, because this is over the interweb. Phone calls, doing a radio show over the phone lines it's possible. I've done it many times, but it's just not easy to do, and you always get a buzzing or something, and it's just kind of a pain. So we're using a Skype alternative called Gizmo that you found 10 minutes ago, or 10 minutes before we started talking.
Yeah. I've heard of it before, but I only started using it now. I've used Skype, as all the other shows are recorded on Skype, but I find Gizmo far better. It just feels cleaner.
I've never used Skype. Even though I've never used Skype, I'm going to go on the record saying this is better than Skype's interface. It just worked. I installed it. I didn't even have to go onto a website to create my account. It just did it within the application. It even showed the little CAPTCHA image, the little thingies.
Yep.
And I just did it all within an application. I was up and running in like a couple minutes. I punched Zayfan's name and error. What do you go by in the show? Do you go by Zayfan?
I go by Jesse. Or both. I don't know.
Both. Punched your name in there and we're talking. Within 2 seconds, you picked up and he was like, phone call. It was beautiful.
It was. There are a few weird things. For example, you need a really long username. I'm not exactly sure how long, but it definitely has to be over 6 letters long. So.
And it doesn't tell you that.
It doesn't. It just says either this name is already taken or you need to make it longer. That's a bit weird.
So, next thing on the docket was what? Quake something edition is on. I've written down.
No, well, yeah, but we got to do some more bitching about Gizmo because we had that whole conference thing, which is a bit odd.
Oh, okay.
Like, with most voice, it's like add person to conversation. Where in Gizmo, it's like much, much more old school. You basically pick, you phone any number within the 222 area code, and it's like that entire area code is now virtual for Gizmo. So when anyone ever phones that number, they're in a conference with you. This is assuming the conference is already empty.
Some people will maybe like that because it is a throwback to bridges that people talk in from which, if you're not familiar with them, they're chat rooms over the phone, conference lines, party lines, however you want to call them. And this is pretty much the same thing with they're doing over voice. Now, I'm guessing that if somebody was to mess around with this, since this is probably going over some sort of phone network or doing some sort of silliness, there's probably some fun things you could do with this if you played around with it. So there's maybe some potential for playing around with it. But for our purposes, it would have been easier if we could have just said add person.
Yeah, we actually had to push the F1 button. And,
I did not press the F1 button.
Well, I pushed the F1 button. Because I'm all about the hotkeys.
I'm not about those hotkeys.
The F1 hotkeys?
No, I rarely use the F1 hotkey. Because it's health in it.
Yeah, it's like asking for directions. You're not supposed to do it. It's unmanly.
I've wasted countless hours in computer programs trying to figure out how to do something, playing around the interface, and it never occurs to me to just go up top and click help, and then something, something, help again, and then just type in what I'm looking for. Never occurs to me.
Well, it's not really your fault, because historically, the help file, this is not so much true with Linux, but I know especially with a lot of Windows applications, the help file is really just like, I can't find the exit button.
True. I found that usually a lot of them now just go to a website, and the websites for some reason are always more infinitely better maintained and useful.
Yeah. But even those are like, they don't have anything that's really that useful. It's really just stuff that you should already know to turn on your computer.
I find the frequently asked questions usually are useful. If I'm having a common problem or some sort of problem, I usually send frequently asked questions.
What I find more useful is the forums. The stickies in the forums are infinitely better than the FAQ, I think.
Very true. Because you get a lot more context. You get a lot more people talking about it, and it lets you understand it a lot better. Because a help file would just say, well, to fix this problem, do this. Well, a forum's going to say, well, it does this because of this. This is coded this way, and look into this. And
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, as I put down my undisclosed handheld, which has Super Mario World on it, which I own legitimately, I'm not breaking laws, I am going to the Quake 3 IO something website that's special. Oh my god. Say something while I look for it.
The Quake engine, the Quake 3 engine I'm not a big fan of, because there for a while, in several years after the game came out, people were still using the goddamn engine for games. It was way past its prime, and they're releasing new games with that engine. Specifically, Star Trek, what was it called? Elite Force.
Oh, yeah. There was two.
Yeah, the first one, okay, using the Quake engine, cool, works great. And then 3 years later, they come out with a sequel using the Quake engine again. Wasn't so happy about that.
They did some amazing things with it, though, with the Jedi Knight.
I played the game for 5 minutes. I walked into a tree, and I somehow died, and I got trapped inside the tree, and I went, like, screw this game. And I never played it again.
Yay. Okay, we're going to have to cut this part out, because I can't even remember what the name is. It was like this Quake 3 thing installer. Oh my god. Help me find it. Well, here it is. Iculus.
Look in your history.
No, I was on Linux when I found it originally.
Ooh.
Okay. It's Iculus. Quake 3 Edition something.
Tell me when you're going to go back into the show.
Okay. Back into the show. So, I found, after last week's episode, because I wanted to play some Quake 3, I downloaded... Oh, the reason I found it was because of that game we played last week. It was called Thomulus. Or something. Oh, god damn it. Okay, we're cutting this part out, too, because I suck.
Okay. Just say, we're playing that game, Thomulus, and then recap very briefly what the game is for me and other people who have never listened to previous episodes.
Okay. It's Tremulous. There we go. Okay. As you may remember from last week, I was playing Tremulous for pretty much half of the episode. Very professional of me, of course. And from that website, I found out that it was based off of not really the vanilla Quake 3, as you may want to call it, but it was based off something called Iculus. Iculus is like a... it's a group of people who are continuing the development of the Quake 3 engine and making, you know, it more compatible with Linux and Macs and Windows and just... It's not really upgrading it, it's just making the function calls modern and stuff, so it has better support.
So, Quake 3 is open source?
Oh yeah, it went under GPL like a year or two ago.
Wow, that's neat.
Yeah, he's pretty much done that with all of his Quake engines. You know, 1, 2, 3, I'm pretty sure they're going to do it with 4 whenever the 5th one comes out, if they do a 5th one. So, I downloaded Aculus last week, and it's basically an installer. It comes with an installer, so it pretty much automates the whole installation of Quake 3 into Linux. You still need the Quake 3 CD with the data files on it, but, you know, it's not free. So you still got to use that. And it was like all, yeah, it was like Quake 3 with Linux, with Aculus, and yeah.
Good times.
It's Quake 3. Okay, that's pretty much the extent of our gaming on Linux.
Yeah, because my whole Linux thing is I know how to use Linux. I like Linux as a toy. I use it for my desktop for about a year, a little while ago, but I haven't really been using it too often lately. And when I do, I'm not playing games besides the obvious DoxRacer and the old standbys, but I haven't done too much besides maybe playing... I installed once Unreal 2004 on Linux and actually ran better than Windows, which I've heard other people say it's pretty common with games in Linux. You probably discussed that before, though.
I think they mentioned that before. We didn't really go into depth on it because we had no idea why that was. Maybe it's just OpenGL's class within DirectX. Who knows?
But that's my experience, so unfortunately, Linux gaming topics from me. I could bounce stuff, if you could bounce stuff off of me on a game, I could probably say something about it or ask questions, but you don't seem to have much content either, so we're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, and since no one else is here, especially like the guy who talks about media players, he's not here. So C4 and other people who are expecting about 40 minutes talking about GTK-based media players. That might happen next week, to come back then. But right now, it's the entertainment portion. Pretty much all of the episodes up till now have been strictly about Linux gaming. But we do have the entertainment part of Logger. So we're going to talk about stuff not really directly involving Linux.
That's great, we really don't have too much content for this section either, but we do, it's just, we don't have it listed, but, We'll probably pause the show. You won't notice it, though, because it was the fans only editing that he will hopefully do.
My ghetto, Audacity, free forever stuff.
But I have a folder containing many TV shows, and I will look through that folder and then remember what I have seen.
I have a 300 gigabyte hard drive completely dedicated to that type of stuff. But we do it all legally. It's completely legal. I own all of the TV shows.
See, I'm not a big wares person. If I use something, I'll pay for it. That sort of thing. I don't think it. And a lot of people annoy me because they're like, I don't pay for software. I'm so cool. Look at me. It's not really impressive. There's no challenge. But as far as TV shows go, it's TV. If you pay for cable or satellite, you should be able to download a few TV shows because it is so hard to dedicate your life to. Okay, 9 o'clock on a certain day, I have to watch TV. Or this, I would rather watch a website and have it just say, oh, this new episode just popped up. This new episode just popped up. If there was a realistic way for me to pay for it, I would, but there isn't.
Well, what was that? I think it was like, there was some house that started doing BitTorrenting of the shows for like $1 an episode.
The Show House?
The Show House, no. It was like a big TV company.
Oh,
like, okay. Like Miramax or something.
No, it was, I believe I read a little bit of the article, but it wasn't really anything to get too excited about. Basically, the guy who does the BitTorrent protocol probably wants to make a little bit of money off of all this, so he's licensing the technology, or he's developing the technology. Well, yeah, he'd be developing, because you can't license the way it is, blah, blah, blah. But, I guess he's going to develop some custom BitTorrent software so they can serve up DRM content.
Yeah, what was the company called? Which corp was that?
I don't know. It was one of the big ones,
yeah.
I believe. Maybe was it Universal?
Oh, yeah, I think that was it. Yeah.
Yeah, really nothing to get too excited about. It's basically going to be the half-assed attempt we've seen, except BitTorrent's going to be running in the background. You're not going to notice it. It's a non-story, essentially. It's going to be another failed service that they can do to say, look, we try.
Well, for me, the major points are no ads. It has to be a decent thing. It can't be lower than HD. It has to be at least 480p.
And again, I don't want DRM.
Yeah, me either. And I want like a decent format. I want like, I don't want Windows Media Video. Windows Media Video. I don't want that. I want like XBit.
Yeah, and I'll pay for a subscription for DRM stuff if it's reasonable, but I'm not going to supposedly own DRM stuff because I'm not going to do iTunes. I'm not going to do any of that and pay prices that would you think I would own it for that price? I forget what the word I was searching for, but.
Have you seen the prices of those DVD packs? They're like $100 a season.
Oh yeah, that too. It's just outrageous, and yeah, it's just hard to actually enjoy some things legally. I guess what we're getting at.
Yeah.
We justified ourselves for this portion of the show. So let's talk about some, you gotta do that for any time, just to make yourself look good.
What show?
Any what? Show. Oh, wait, oh, I was still explaining our justification of ourselves.
Yeah. TV,
yeah,
oh, yeah, and the whole, okay, I gotta interject this part.
Okay.
If you pay for cable, downloading BitTorrented episodes of TV shows that you already have access to is essentially TiVoing. I see really no difference between TiVoing and downloading.
Good point, because you're skipping the advertisements anyway.
Yeah.
But the internet is evil.
But, of course, the houses don't like TiVo either. They're up in arms with, like, the broadcasting, what is it called? Flags?
Yeah, broadcasting flags.
Yeah. And since even though I'm in Canada, we still have the NTCS standard, so that'll probably apply to me, too. Paper goes through.
So, first show, briefly, you wanted to mention that the 7 show is what you said is going off the air, it's gone, dead.
No, there's a few shows. Isn't Malcolm in the Middle going away, too?
Oh, it is? Darn.
I like Malcolm in the Middle.
I'm not really sure why I don't like it. It seems like they're trying to create a show specifically engineered to. There's lots of people that don't have a lot of money, and we want a show that they'll say, hey, this is like my life. This is so cool. I can identify with this. And it just seemed kind of specifically made to do that and just kind of gimmicky and really not all that funny either.
Well, do we need another, like, black family sitcom? Like, what was that? The Bernie Mac show?
We don't need any sitcoms, period.
Hey, there's some good sitcoms. Why are you insulting sitcoms?
They're sitcoms.
Like Seinfeld. Are you saying Seinfeld was bad?
Wait a second. Does Gizmo have any canned laughter backgrounds? It has sound effects. I'm not sure if that's canned laughter, because...
I'm pretty sure you can get a laugh track. Oh, great.
We have a laugh track. Awesome.
This is so... that's not too bad, actually.
Douchebag.
Okay.
Go on.
As long as we don't abuse that. Did Seinfeld have a laugh track? It did.
Yeah, Seinfeld's okay, though.
Anyways, the 70s show, for those of you who actually watch TV, like me, you've known that the 70s show has basically, it's gone to hell. And I'm sort of glad they're ending it now. Like, originally, a long time ago, when I was a little boy, 8 years ago, no, I was actually that young, 8 years ago, I was pretty young. It was alright. Now you have horrible acting.
And can they really still pass off being teenagers, or have they gone to college yet in the show?
No, I don't think they have. They've passed high school, but they haven't gone to college. I'm not exactly sure if they said their age, but it's been on 8 years since, I think it was like 1976, apparently. So, in reality, it should be like 1982.
They were probably at least 18 when they started, so, yeah.
Yeah, so... In reality, it's not 19... Oh, never mind. Why are we talking about reality in this sitcom? That seems a bit oxymoronic.
I wanted to touch briefly on the show Lost. I no longer like it because they're just dragging it on way too long. There's two episodes that are over. Two seasons are essentially over. There's one or two more episodes left of the season. Two seasons over, still really don't know anything about the island too much. And it's getting kind of old. The show is, if you haven't heard of it, which I'm sure you have, a bunch of people crash on an island, a bunch of weird stuff happens on the island, trying to figure out what is going on with the island. It's kind of a fantasy-type thing. It's a cool setting. You really want to know what's going on. They don't tell you anything. They want to keep you watching. And essentially, every episode, it's 50% backstory, where they say what the people are doing before they crash on the island. The other 25% is just useless, boring island stuff, and maybe, and then somehow there's something else, and then there's 5% cool shit.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly the percentages. That's how it works out, so. Lost is cool after a while, but it really doesn't do what it promised you.
Segue into Prison Break for the exact same reason.
Yes. Prison Break is, it starts off awesome, and it's a lot of fun when you first start watching, because it's the coolest concept. Guy goes to prison, tries to break him and his brother out, who's on death row, and the guy who plays the guy who's going to break himself out of prison is really charismatic, is a cool actor, is just perfect character for it. And but it goes on after a while, the show just has a lot of this drama type stuff. There's people not in the prison. They're trying, trying to dig up the dirt and with the whole conspiracy why, I can't remember the characters.
The government.
Yeah, there's conspiracy trying to figure it out, and there you go. And it's all this drama and just typical TV stuff and suspense, and it just gets old after a while. You describe it better than I just did. Go.
What?
Describe it better than I just did, because I didn't do a very good job.
It's a show where you're like, dude who talks in a monotone, and he's like, I don't know, he's like high-functioning autistic, except for he's an idiot savant, so.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I know he went to a psychiatrist once, and they described this weird disorder that he had.
He's not an idiot savant.
But he acts like a cross between a sociopath and a high-functioning autistic.
The way they described it was, is most people see a lamp and say, hey, there's a lamp. He sees a, hey, there's a lamp. And there's wires and gears and all this stuff.
But the way they describe it is that he has a mechanically inclined mind, which is completely characteristic of a high-functioning autistic.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
They didn't say that, but I'm paraphrasing.
Oh, well then.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. I think you're wrong, but I think you're thinking about just savant. It doesn't have to be an autistic. You're thinking of just savants where they're kind of autistic, but they're insanely intelligent.
Yeah, high-functioning autistics have a disposition.
They're like a computer.
Well, not necessarily. Like, for example, I work with high-functioning autistic, and he's obsessive with sports. But he's an idiot at the same time.
Well, like, the guy that Rain Man, that movie is based on, I seen a documentary type thing where he was on there, and the guy is insane. You can ask him virtually any question from an encyclopedia, and bam, within a split second, he'll repeat it. Any kind of bizarre fact where it's dates and numbers, and he knows everything. He can read an entire book by just glancing at every single page and didn't recall any single fact.
Well,
but the guy is handicapped. He can't talk very well, and it just he's autistic.
He's autistic. No. Yeah. So you got this crazy sociopathic, crazy guy in jail with his master plan, trying to break everyone out. And if you want to see a good show that's sort of like Prison Break, watch Oz. It's like Prison Break without so much escaping and none of that conspiracy stuff. And more male
like
frontal nudity.
They're not really in the same league. They're not the similar shows at all.
Dude, I saw Oz, like, during the first season of Prison Break, because at the time I was watching Oz at the same time, and I realized how horribly shallow Prison Break was.
Okay, I'm going to sum up Prison Break in that it's a good show. It's well done. Every single episode's pretty, it's well done. It's just that you just get kind of sick of the whole entire formula. It's not that they did a bad thing. It's a good show. It's just, after a while, it loses its steam, kind of. The same formula, same way of doing every episode, just, you stop buying it after a while. It doesn't really seem quite like a prison.
Yeah.
Especially after you've seen Oz.
Yeah, let's summarize one episode. They have the ragtag team of convicts, and they're planning their escape, and something goes wrong. And then this insane sociopathic autistic stares really hard.
Yes, he does a fair amount of staring. It's good, high-quality staring, mind you.
He has this super serious stare. And then he's like, I will solve the problem.
And he does.
And he does.
And everything magical kind of works out.
But then until the next episode where they have another issue.
Oh, and between before each commercial break, there's always a dun, 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 dun. Almost, would it be almost Metal Gear Solid-ish?
Sort of. And then it, like, flies through the walls. I'm surprised there isn't a snake.
Snake.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, done with Prison Break. Well, I have Ghost in the Shell, a standalone complex right here for some reason. Have you seen the show?
No, I saw the movies, though. They were good.
I saw the first movie that was actually in English. that it was mediocre. I love just calling down stuff because people like them.
People are going to, like, email me, because you're not on the mailing list. I am. They're going to be like, Ghost in the Shell is the man.
I just didn't really get into it. I like the TV show, though. It's a standalone complex. It's a 26-episode series, which is all right. There's a lot of talking. A lot of talking.
Are they discussing the human importance of the soul?
It's pretty good talking, though. It's interesting, especially if you like the whole kind of cyberpunk-ish type stuff. But then, after they've done the 26 episodes, which, like, every single anime has to do 26 episodes. I'm not going to get into that. I don't know why they do it. But they get those episodes in, it's done. Well, they did another season called Standalone Complex Second Gig.
Yeah, what does the gig stand mean? Like,
no idea.
Is that like guitar gig, like what bands get?
You know what? Maybe. They might be referring to this, like, their second run at their whole police thing. But, it's spelled the number 2ND, if you're looking for this, then GIG.
Is that licensed yet?
For the U.S. with... Yep. English. About half of the episodes, let's see, I think episodes 1 through, I'm going to say 16, are available on DVD. They might have 4 more out by now on DVD. But Cartoon Network, for some reason, they have all the episodes with the English dubs, the English audio, if you don't know the cool anime slang. So, Cartoon Network has it. Of course, they're going to be all out of order and ruin it for you. So, go check out the second gig. If you're really into anime or really into Ghost in the Shell, definitely check out the first season first. But if you just want to see something cool, start with the second season. You're not going to spoil a single thing, really, at all. There's something very minor in the first season at the end. But if you hear that there's a second season, you already know the answer to the cliffhanger. So, no, it's not going to hurt anything to just start with the second season. Right. So definitely do that if you're not hardcore into the third thing. But it's good stuff. It's very, especially the second season is very pretty. Especially, it's one of those you can watch the first episode and know if you're going to like it. The whole season, or whole show.
Thank you for explaining the details of the season.
Is that sarcastic?
No, we need the laugh
genuine.
Track.
Genuine.
Laugh track.
Oh, okay.
There we go. All right. Were you the one who said they didn't like House?
I'm not sure. I might have said it on IRC. Are you a House fan?
Yeah.
I should say first, I have this weird thing where I respect shows and not like things at the same time. I'm not generally one to say that this sucks. So my thing with House is that it's a good show. Every episode I watch keeps me watching. It's pretty suspenseful. But you really start seeing the formulas after a while. They're very, very apparent. Which, I can't remember the formulas for some reason right now.
You're talking about a doctor who plays by his own rules. Anything can happen, left guard.
I saw that cover.
Yeah, I know.
Backtrack.
Don't
you love it when... Don't you love it when obscure TV restaurant references actually work? Because when they don't, it's awkward.
Yeah.
That was from the Colbert Report.
Which is another show you should be watching.
Oh, yes. I don't even watch The Daily Show anymore.
Have you heard about the Red State Diaries?
No.
You know Louis Black, right? The comedian who was on The Daily Show sometimes?
Yes.
He's getting his own spinoff called the Red State Diaries.
Bah. They're all like the guy.
You don't like Louis Black?
Not really.
But he's all like, I do LSD.
Yeah, he is the voice and the personality of someone that should be cool and should be entertaining. But every time I hear his segment on The Daily Show, he is not entertaining at all. his content isn't funny. I don't laugh. He's just angry, and he's good at being angry.
I know, that's
but
the point.
He's angry. Not funny. Yeah, you can be angry and be charismatic, but if you don't have anything funny to say, then you get old real quick.
Obviously, you don't read enough Fart.
No, I don't.
Alright.
I did see the guy talk at Nauticon, though, and he's a very, very good speaker, I'll say that. I don't really read the website much, though.
Lewis Black was at Nauticon?
No! The Fart guy, sorry. I was the thing of Fart as one guy, because he kind of brands it with his name, Drew Curtis. So I think of it as Drew Curtis.
What was he talking about at Nauticon?
He's talking about the media, and, you know, obviously the media, and how... he's just talking about the stupid things of how it works, like with the bird flu and our vice president shooting somebody in the face and his commentary and all that. No, he's not a comedian. He's just he's a good speaker. And he's kind of funny.
Cool.
Yeah.
Where is Nauticon anyway?
It's in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, that sounds like someplace you wouldn't go.
Oh, that's right, you're in Canada. You could make it.
Yeah, except for I'm poor.
You go into Michigan, then you go into Ohio, and you're there.
I'm poor. Do I need to mention how I live beside... I literally live beside a Mexican food factory.
No, you live in the Fight Club house. We've just established this.
I don't live in the middle of nowhere. Well, I do, except for there's a lot of buildings around me. That's what it sounds like right at my door all night long.
Do you have to make soap as well, though.
Soap.
Okay, the Fight Club thing's not going to go anywhere, but I have to just end it with saying that if you've not seen Fight Club, dear Lord in heaven, watch the movie, because it's one of my all-time favorite movies, and it's even the Internet Movie Database, which hates everything. They hate all movies. If a movie on the Internet Movie Database, imdb.com, if the movie gets about a 7.5, it's an awesome movie. But, and it's one of their, I think, their top 15 movies of all time. So if they can get that, it's a good movie.
Yeah. What is their number one? Is that like Star Wars or something?
It's probably some obscure movie from the 50s that it's probably academically good, but nothing you would ever watch.
Now, I know Justin Kelly was like their worst movie ever. Of course, a movie no one's heard of.
Have you seen the show The Unit?
Unit? No, I see it on my thing, which scrolls on my desktop, which, yeah.
Okay. sure. Your thing on your desktop.
Yeah. The thing that's on my desktop that, that doesn't make the torrents.
Unit's a good show. It's, military. It's, going to get, I can see the plot shows right off the bat, and I'm very good at my predictions. This show is going to be good for the first season and probably suck after that. But for this first season of the season so far, very good, fun stuff. It's military type thing. It's every episode has kind of like special forces type mission that's going on. It's about 75% of the episodes of whatever situation they're in. And it's a group of about five people. And it just seems real. I know a guy that's in kind of ROTC is a college military training stuff, and real big military person, loves all military stuff, and he says it's realistic, so I trust him. So it seems like they're pretty on the ball with most of their stuff, and every episode is just grabs you, and it's a lot of fun to watch. If you like action, definitely check the show out. It really makes you feel like you're kind of part of the whole thing. Because they use a really clever, well, actually, no, not clever. It's been used before, but it works well. Plot device where at the beginning of the show or beginning of the movie, they have the new guy. And so they can explain everything to the new guy and thus explain it to you at the same time. And they do that in this show, which really explains a lot of stuff to you and some little neat little tidbits about military life. But and then the 25% is focused back on the home front and their wife and families and how they deal with the living on an army base and dealing with the whole military thing and waiting for their husbands to die in combat.
Waiting for them to die.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know how to say that better.
I'm going to get hate mail too now.
No, actually, the reason I said that is because they touched on quite a bit on when the people come. I don't know what they're called. Inform them that their husband died.
Do they, like, phone anybody ahead?
No, they just show up. It's pretty well-known American tradition, I believe. They just, if there's a couple guys show up to your house and let you know.
Yeah, it seems odd, like, especially in the bureaucracy that you guys over there live in. You would expect, like, paperwork to be sent months in advance so you don't cause psychological damage by you appearing on their doorstep.
I think it's just a respect thing. I think it's a tradition thing as well. I don't know a lot about it, but I've seen enough movies where it happened. So yeah, I think I'm an authority.
I've seen the movies too. I'm just wondering if that's a real tradition.
No, yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Like, I could imagine someone suing those guys for coming on their property because they are omens and they're, like, causing psychological damage.
Hmm.
Think about it. If you see two guys that you know are the death guys, that is psychological damage. So they're like, I'm suing you for causing psychological damage.
No.
Another American tradition.
There's really no way to break it to somebody that's not going to cause psychological damage.
I know, that's why you can sue them.
I really hope I didn't offend anybody.
Yeah.
If I did, I seriously apologize the way I,
We're talking about your loved ones over in Iraq.
But talking about one woman that would had mirrors all set up through the house, so no matter where she was sitting, she could see if they were walking up to her door. And they mentioned that a few times, just being scared of their husbands dying in combat because they're always in danger.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. That lady's crazy because she knows it's like the omen people coming to her door, which causes like anxiety. You caused my panic attack. I'm suing.
I don't think you have a case.
Hot coffee. That's all I can say.
I'm looking through my torrent folder.
Your porn folder?
Torrent. TORRENT.
Well, I guess I could double as a torrent folder.
Yeah, true.
Alright,
let's see. Last Exile, pretty good anime. I'm not really going to go into it. As far as I can tell, I haven't read anything about it. As far as I can tell, based in an alternate, I'd say 1940s, where instead of everybody using cars, they use airplanes.
Oh yeah, I think I saw something about that.
This isn't an original idea, but it's cool when shows do this.
Now I listen to not a podcast, an internet talk show distributed by an RSSP called Alpha Rant, and they do a webcomic called Alpha Shade, which is sort of similar. They've mentioned all their show that everyone compares them to that, and they don't like it, so I'm not going to do it, but they do the biplane thing too.
Actually, now that I think of it, it's not 1940s style. It's more Civil War era, where the combat, as far as ground troops go, they walk in a straight line, they stand there, and they shoot each other with muskets.
Yeah.
It's that era. And they do it with the ships. It's pretty interesting. Instead of with a... Yeah, it's where almost aircraft carriers in the sky. And so the airplanes can go and land on them. And it's fun. It's, not the first people to do it, but I don't think a lot of people have done it. There's Crimson Skies for the Xbox and PS2, I believe, which has done it.
You got the Alpha Shade plug.
Yep, I'll check that out. But,
actually, I didn't read it.
Last episode, I've seen the first four episodes. Seems pretty decent. If you're not into anime, skip it. There's nothing that's really too entertaining yet. It might be getting entertaining. I just like the setting, and I like the intro song.
What's the intro song?
I don't know. Some Japanese thing.
All right.
How long have we been doing the show for?
I don't know.
Hour and a half.
What?
That's right, you can't tell.
I can. Whoa. We've been doing this for almost an hour.
I think it's more like an hour and a half.
No, it's... Well, we had the pre-show. But it's 50 minutes. We're going long for, like, especially no content.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not sure, really sure how entertaining this is going to be to listen to. But you know what the important thing is? You got an episode out. That's all that really matters.
That's what I was saying. It's like, guys, what are you doing? You're not recording a show. We're on 7 episodes. What do you think people are going to think about it? And you're like, they don't exist anymore. 7 episodes.
You know, a very good way I've heard of going about it by Jason Scott of TechFiles.com. Mm-hmm. His way of saying how to do this, do a radio show, and I think is genius, is instead of creating a show that you're going to burn out after 15 episodes or so, which I did, everybody usually does. And usually it's less episodes than that, 7 episodes, some people only do 1 or 2. But instead of just doing a radio show for as long as you can possibly bear it, instead say, we're going to do a series of 10 episodes. And do the 10 episodes. And try to maybe make a theme, or maybe 20 episodes, or set a number and do that. And then once you're done, you got a series of shows. You got the first season, or however you want to say it. And then if you want to do more shows, plan another set and do them again.
It's a good idea for some types of shows. But I think the Linus Link Tech Show is more of like a news. Like it's sort of semi-news-like. So you can't pre-record the news.
Well, I think it's hard to say that about a show that's been on for a long time. Because you can't think of them not doing it like that, and to even utter the thought is... it's not good.
But something like Twat is perfect for that. Cause,
yeah, but they've done 120 some episodes, I believe.
Yeah, but all the episodes are really short. I don't like that. Some people, I know it's really condensed information, but I think they should be a bit longer.
I like short shows when it matters. I don't like drawn-out shows like this sometimes.
Like this, like the show I'm recording. Don't listen to this. We think it sucks.
I'm pretty biased, though, because I like shows that get to the point and not like what we're doing right now. This is because I've listened to so many radio shows. I ran a site that had lots of radio shows, and I felt obligated to listen to all of them. And after a while, I just wanted something that got to the point and didn't just talk.
Talking is awesome.
Which is what all podcasts do now. That's why I don't listen to podcasts, because they never have show formats. At least we're trying to do show formats and have topics. I've listened to so many podcasts that start out, and the show starts, they might have some 10-minute-long intro song, and then it starts, and they're just talking. They're like, I did this, and we went to this restaurant, blah, 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 and there's no show format whatsoever. And yeah. It gets really old, because just listening to people talk maybe is cool for the novelty factor at first, but if you want entertainment, it's just people talking. That's why I enjoy the shows that were before podcasting, like Gamer Radio, and they set out with a goal in mind, they know what they're going to talk about, and they do it in a radio show format, and it's entertaining.
Yeah.
Where the
hell? Good movies?
Let's see here.
We're shifting with the TV.
My problem is my mind does not let me do a directory listing. I have to look at a list of what I've seen, because I can't remember. Until if you mention a movie, I'll just say, oh yeah, I remember that. And that's
what
I can't. Yeah.
How was that?
I told C4 about that, and that's probably, is that how you heard about it, is the show?
No, I don't know. I know about Hospital, I haven't seen it. Okay.
I made him watch the movie, well, because I don't know. I made him watch it because it just sounded like a movie he would like. Because he always talking about how he likes the Jordan movies. But,
No, I mean, why are we talking about Hostel?
Hostel? Because he said it!
I know, but, like, I'm wondering now. I think that's like a 3-month-old movie. Like,
cool.
We're talking about Quake 3 and Hostel? It's like, okay, maybe we should think of more of an up-to-date movie.
You seen Jurassic Park, man?
Yeah, Jurassic Park. It was awesome.
I love that movie. Hostel. Yeah, sure. Let's mention it. Hostel. I thought it was pretty good. I wouldn't rate it like the best movie in the world. I thought it was good as a gory movie. It had boobies. Really? It had gore.
With the boobies cut off.
I was entertained. No.
No guillotine action on those.
No. But I was entertained. I did watch the movie, and while watching the movie, I said to myself, I am being entertained. I am having a good time. And I was pretty much into the movie, and it passed slash shot test that I have, which means if I go through a movie on my computer without making the movie window kind of small and then opening up slash shot in another window, if I don't do that, that means it's a pretty good movie.
I know exactly what you mean. I've done that before. Not necessarily with Slashdot, but I've done that type of thing before.
Yeah. Probably many other people have too, and just don't realize that that's a determining factor on how good of a movie it is. But yeah, if you like kind of scary movies, and you like something that's different, because I think most horror movies are just dumb. It actually does a good horror movie, and I really don't know how to explain it. I liked it, and that's all there is to it. Probably wouldn't watch it again, though.
But no.
It's a good ride the first time, and then it doesn't make it a bad movie. It just means that I probably won't watch it again.
All right, movie. That's the movie.
I saw. Oh God, what was it called? I don't remember. You think the movie?
I don't watch it. Well, I do, except for I don't. Yeah, never mind.
A movie called Invisible Children. It's not a Hollywood movie. It's not it's a documentary. So, essentially it is, I hate words, filler words, like, essentially. Some kids go to, I think it's South Africa? I'm pretty sure it's South Africa. The Bad Africa.
The Bad Africa. Versus the Good Africa.
And what's going on? I hope it's South Africa. Otherwise, I'm just misrepresenting all this. No, I just don't want to describe a situation that does not apply there. What's happening is that there's this rebel group, and then there's the kind of the regular army. But the rebel group is so powerful, and what they're doing is they're kidnapping children, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds. I mean, actual children, and making them fight in their army. They completely brainwash them, and they hand them an AK, and there you go. And they're smaller than regular soldiers. They're harder to hit, and so they make good soldiers. They can a bullet from, I am paraphrasing this from the movie God of War, but Lord of War, but a bullet from a 10-year-old hurts just as much as one from a 20-year-old. And so they're using these kids, and at first you hear about it and say, okay, you know, crazy shit's happening all over the world, big deal. But you watch the movie, and it's weird, because you go into thinking, yeah, just some random people, I'm probably not going to care, because they're not me. They're not like my neighbor. But you listen to it, and these kids, they speak good English. They like listening to rap groups like 50 Cent. They like all our music. They wear t-shirts like from here. Obviously not name brand, because these people are pretty impoverished, but...
And we all love 50 Cent.
But they're... You listen to them talk, and they're exactly like a kid you would... From your neighbor. For any random school, this is what the kids would be like. They do their homework under candlelight, trying to get it done, and you listen to them talk, and it's just so depressing to listen to them talk, because these are like actual kids. They're not just a number like you would think. So I recommend that. It kind of opens your eyes a little bit to a situation that just everybody's ignoring.
So what's the movie again?
It's called Invisible Children.
Cool.
And
how'd that rate on the IMDb?
I'm not sure. I could check. It's an independent movie. I think they pretty much just want to get out to as many people as they can. So if you... I think you can download it from their website and pay for it, I believe, or you can buy the DVD. And all the money goes towards a fund to help these kids out. But if you can't afford it, or you're really not sure if you're going to like it, I really don't think it'd be completely wrong to just download it off BitTorrent.
You're hurting African kids by pirating.
If you like it, buy it. I will once I have some money, and I'll probably lend it to people and do that sort of thing. But I'm not going to search the web and do the show at the same time.
Unlike me, who's playing Super Mario.
Yeah, anything else you can think of?
You got movies? You listen to the Stadium Arcadium, the new Red Hot Chili Peppers album?
No. Not a Red Hot Chili Peppers fan.
No?
No.
You hate the Red Hot
Chili Peppers? I don't hate them. I just don't like them.
That's
just not my kind of music.
Horrible.
Okay. Yeah.
TV, the movies, the music, all the M.
Basically, all my reviews consist of, this is a good movie, go watch, because I said so. I'm not a reviewing type of person for the most part, so I can talk about it, I can conversate about a movie forever. Like, if you've seen the same movie, I could talk about it, but to do a presentation and explain the finer points of a movie, and unless I spend time and write it down and prepare, I'm really not that good at it. Which brings me to Four Brothers, the movie Four Brothers. It seems like just a generic action movie that you'll skip. I think most people do skip it because it just looks generic and dumb. Four adopted kids, their adopted mother, she's cool, she helps all the kids in Detroit, not join gangs and just kind of helps them out. She adopts kids, and there's four kids that were so bad off, and she adopted them, and she kind of make them somewhat good and trying to be essentially good people, sue the crime, but good people. Well, she gets murdered for some reason, and something's weird about it, and they figure out, and they just go and fuck up Detroit, figuring it out. And if you've ever been in Detroit, the movie feels like Detroit. It's winter, the weather sucks, and it's Michigan. And the action is good. I loved all the action in the movie. The story is good. The acting's good. And it really surprised me. Everything about the movie is excellent. I've seen the movie probably five times. And
Sure it's good?
Yes, I do. Because sure
it looks like it's trying to hit that 13 to 20-year-old male demographic with rap music and stuff.
No, it doesn't. There actually is. I don't think there is any rap music in it. It does kind of like this almost soul music type thing, which works better than you think it would. But just trust me on this, I am the pickiest bastard when it comes to movies and entertainment in general. I am bad. And if I like something, it's good. It's just really all there is to it.
Yeah, he doesn't like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. What's wrong with them?
They've been around for 50 or 60 years.
We had to use hyperbole.
Okay, 50.
They've only been to rehab like 50 times.
It's just I mainly don't like music on the radio because if I listen to a CD, like, this is a good CD, I'm going to listen to it a few times. I got to listen to it over and over for the rest of my life on the radio, people driving by, just playing. So I don't really listen to mainstream music for that reason because it will just drive me insane.
Someone spends too much time listening to people drive around.
People drive by my house and they have bass.
People drive by my house, too.
Ludacris. I've seen a lot of people listen to Ludacris for some reason, still.
You know, I was actually at work one time and I said Ludacris, and someone seriously looked at me like I was talking about the rapper. Like they've never heard the actual word Ludacris before.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And I'm like...
Weird.
And I give them this weird look and I'm like... the word, because I knew what he was thinking, because he was like a kid, and he's like, you know, urban youth type guy. I'm like, the word. And he's like, oh, it's a word?
How come you can say the word urban? I said urban IRC, and so I think they're joking, but they called me a racist.
How is it racist?
I don't know. I think this is the context. I describe some people as dressing and acting urban.
Yeah, by mean dressing and acting urban, I mean like trying to be a poser on one of those, like, you know, gangster rap music video type people.
Exactly.
Who wear huge pants and huge shoes and huge everything.
I think I'm going to use this episode for is not necessarily discussing the newest entertainment, but discussing things I have seen that I think are cool in the past couple years that nobody seems to be watching or playing, and they should, such as Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher's Bay for the PC and Xbox.
I played that, and it was like, I heard it was so good, but it felt way too slow for me.
Did you play it for the Xbox or PC?
PC.
Hmm.
It was like, I'm walking around, and the combat felt cheesy, especially with the guns. It was like, meh.
I've heard reviewers say that they translated the PC very well. I played a little bit of the PC because I wanted to listen to the commentary, which I don't want to go off topic here, but the commentary, after you beat the game, you can go through every level and go to a certain spot in the level and you can click the commentary icon and the people who develop the game will talk about the finer points of each level.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's so worth it. Just if you've already played the game for Xbox, get the game for PC and use a cheat to warp to the last level, beat the last level, and then it thinks you've beat the game now, so you don't have to replay it. And then just go, then you can play through it with commentary. And I highly recommend it. I don't think you're the first game to do commentary. And it's cool to be able to stand in a room. I stood in the room in the first level, and you've probably seen it too. It's in the prison. And it's like a grate, and there's a rope going up. And they're saying, well, yeah, you can walk up this rope, but you know, you could walk all the way up it. So the designer put a fence up there, but we weren't sure if that was going to be enough. We're not sure if somebody could figure out a way to go walk all the way up and get out of the top level up there. So we actually wrote a script that bounces you off the rope after you get so high. And, I mean, nothing that's going to blow your mind, but it's cool to sit there, look at that end game, be able to walk up and have them explain it to you. It's just something I've never seen before.
Do you ever see the video for the Fear Director's Edition?
No, I didn't really play too much Fear. It never really ran very well for me. I didn't see that amazing.
They sort of had something like that where it was a video and they watched some guy play through the first few levels and they were talking about, like they said, this clock on this wall used to keep real time, but then some programmer phoned me and they said I had to remove it because it was using too many resources. and they said other stuff, like there was a programmer said, if you have a choice between being a programmer, a developer, be an artist, because if you're a programmer, you just have to clean up after everybody. As an artist, you can do whatever the hell you want, the programmer has to clean up after you.
That's a good point. Programming probably would suck for game design, because they, especially those commercials, I love the game design commercials on TV. If you have not seen them, they're so good. You can find them on any kind of Google video type thing or YouTube. Go on YouTube.com or Google Video and type in Westwood College. I think that's all you really need to find it. And you'll find some very entertaining commercials for their video games. It's cool. But, programming's not as sexy as kids think it would be for video games. If you do it as a hobby, it'd probably be fun, but if you did it in like a corporate setting, it's code, it's programming. It's not that glamorous. You're probably going to be working at debugging an engine or something.
Oh, yeah, fun stuff.
And if you like doing that sort of thing, you're already doing it. I mean, don't get into it because you want to program video games.
Yep. Did you leave me a voicemail?
Yeah, a long time ago.
I just looked at my email and it sent me like a wave of you talking.
Nice.
Yeah. So, programming. Bad. Yeah.
Programming, stupid.
Being a network admin, you get paid like as much, if not more.
and you don't got to do any of that crap.
And if you have to program, program everything in Visual Basic.
I love you for that. Oh, but a lot of corps are, like, requiring everyone to standardize, like, C-sharp and crap.
Hmm.
Have we mentioned Linux in the past, like, 15 minutes?
Ever?
Oh, we mentioned it at the start, it's like, this is Logger. We talk about Linux games. On to entertainment.
The whole premise of this episode is that just be happy there's an episode, essentially.
Yeah. Basically, I had to find Kizzle. I was, like, harassing everybody. Kizzle isn't the first person. I talked to, like, 20 people before I got to Kizzle.
I volunteered.
And, yeah, I didn't even talk to Kizzle. He said, like, hey, you want me on? I'm like, okay.
So, yeah, I just deal with it. I'm very sorry not talking about much Linux, but, talking about stuff.
Yeah, how's that app get? How's that going for you?
Oh, yeah, the good old app get. I've used it a little bit. I mainly, as far as package management, automated package management, it's more using Emerge on Gentoo.
Yeah, because it's all about the compiling.
And, it's a bad scene with me in Emerge, because Portage, or, I don't know the lingo anymore.
My friend calls it Portage, because apparently the developers are from Europe.
That's what I hate about Linux, is everything, every single term, there's always two ways of saying it. There's a cool way to Linux or Linux.
It's Linux.
Or Gentoo, or Gentoo, or...
Who says Gentoo?
I do. Sort of. Sometimes. I alternate. I see, it's a bad thing with me because I install stuff I don't need. I have no business needing. Like, I have just a regular desktop box with normal keyboard, mouse, monitor, speakers. And I install Asterisk on it because I can. Are you familiar with Asterisk?
Yes, I haven't installed it, but I know.
PBX software that you can do phone stuff on your computer. That's always to it. And I know I'm not going to use it, but I can install it. It's mostly because installing stuff on Linux is a bitch, for the most part, if you download the source code. And, oh, it's to hell. And I don't care if there's some Linux expert sitting there going, oh, you're wrong, you do this, and fuck off.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Prefix. He's the prefix, man.
You see, I don't know that. I don't know that command. I don't watch it.
It's the configuring that's the problem.
Yeah, it's just something always goes wrong, and I have to install a library, and then something goes wrong installing that library, because I need another library, so I go to the other library. And in my other thing with Linux, my little beef with Linux, is that it's all about the security. But on the other hand, to get anything to work, you install software from 10 other sources. You don't know where the software came from, or really what server it came from, who wrote it, and it's just... It's really this big grab bag of code to do anything. It's kind of weird. It works. I don't hear of anything bad with it, but it just feels kind of dirty.
We're going to get so much hate mail.
Oh, I know.
No, we're not. I am. I'm going to get the hate mail. I'm going to add your email to the Logger list so you just get all of it.
Oh, what's my email? You don't know it.
No.
It's not listed anyplace. People know it. It's an obvious email. You can probably guess it.
It's probably like on Hacker Media.
It was always Kizzle at HackerMedia.net, and then I got rid of the .net domain, and then my email no longer exists.
You don't have an email forwarder anymore?
No.
Great.
I just don't get it.
Kernel panic, Linux, Gentoo distribution.
This is going downhill. We're talking about error codes.
GCC error version incompatible.
I'm tempted to just go through my list of shows and just say, this is good, this is good, watch it. I said so. 12 Ounce Mouse, go watch like, the first couple of episodes at about 3 in the morning. It's a Cartoon Network Adult Swim show. Worst animation ever, but it's funny.
Yeah. I'm not going to edit this.
Okay.
Seriously, I'm not going to edit it. I'm just going to be like, audio scrubber, bye.
I care. I'm not listening. No, wait, no, there's about a minute portion of that needed to be cut out.
We were, like, talking about, like, how I need to find it. I don't think they'll care that I'm, like, spending a minute trying to find the name of Ridiculous.
Oh, interesting point about this Gizmo software that we're using. It's an alternative Skype. Any window, your web browser window or whatever, and move it around while I'm talking. So I'm talking and talking. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Are you doing it?
What? Yeah, I'm talking. I'm moving.
Is it like, cutting out? Like, your bandwidth is dying?
I don't think so.
Huh. It was for me. If anything happened to my computer like that, it started cutting out.
Because you're crazy. Crazy!
I could touch on why the show Bullshit isn't the best thing in the world, like everybody wants to say this. Do you like the show Bullshit?
I'm pissed off at the most recent season, because it's like a bunch of retarded crap. Like, the last show was like about dogs.
Well, it's the way they go about it. When they do simple subjects, it's fine. When they try to tackle something complicated that's not exactly simple, they fail, because they always pull the same shit. They take a subject, they get a couple really intelligent university people on their side to talk about it, and then they get the crazy-ass people, the most craziest people they can find, on the other side. And then they show that to counterpoint their argument. And then they say, oh, these crazy people, and the most craziest tangent on this subject, they're wrong, so the whole entire thing is wrong.
Well, they have a bias. They come into the situation with a bias. You got to take it with a grain of salt.
It's a bias, but they don't explain their point enough. They just say, here's some crazy people. We're right. that's really all it boils down to a lot of the time.
Wasn't the first season like 40-minute long episodes? We're now 20 minutes?
No, it's always been about 22-minute episodes.
Because I can remember the first season they tackled like three things during each episode.
Yeah, it was always two things in an episode. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe they were longer.
Now it's like one thing, and it just feels really short now.
Yeah, they bite off way too much more than they can chew, and they don't try to present the facts. Like 9/11, for example, or no, it wasn't. They were covering conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
They're trying to say that most conspiracy theories, or all conspiracy theories, are garbage. And the way they presented this is okay, let's talk about 9/11. There's people that think the government planned 9/11, and because 9/11 was so sad, their theories, or the points they bring up, are complete bullshit, because 9/11 was such a tragedy. And they kept showing the footage and saying, look how sad this is, and he gets a sad and important voice. And these shitbags want to talk about how 9/11 was staged, and it was the government, and 5 million people died. And just because it was tragedy doesn't mean there isn't maybe some points people can come up with. I'm not saying it's a whole big conspiracy, but there's a few points I'm not going to go into, but there are some points that people should really say.
Much hate mail.
Hate mail. But you should really say, that part doesn't really make sense. I want an answer. That's really all people should be doing. But they just trample over that and say, oh, no. No way. And then for the crazy people portion, they show a weekly gathering at some bar with a bunch of just drunk, crazy conspiracy theorist people with the most just out-of-this-world theories that don't make sense. These people do this as a hobby. They're having fun. They're drunk. And they get up and they yell for a couple hours and drink beers, and it's good for them. But they try to use this as proof that all conspiracy theories are wrong, or just should not even be considered. And they do this with every single subject they do, and it gets kind of old. It's entertaining. They're funny. Penn and Teller are funny. But you should not be basing your entire reality off of it. You research everything you see on this show, because a lot of times they're just being misleading, blatantly misleading.
There's an extreme libertarian slant on the show. So, yeah.
Oh, another one thing is that I still really don't know the definitions of all this. I'm conservative, I'm liberal, I'm this, I'm that. Because for one, I don't really care about politics that much. For two, there's really not a definition out there that tells you what I'm just supposed to know. What all these different people think and how they act. That kind of bugs me.
I know a lot about it, except for I'm not going to explain because...
Yeah, I don't want to... You know what? I don't care.
Because...
I don't care.
Linux!
Linux.
Linux, for some reason, we're talking about... It's a communism, by the way. Just so you know. Linux communism.
Linux is for dirty hippies.
Exactly. Red, pinko hippies. We're going to come and eat your babies.
We're probably about done with this episode.
I'm not going to edit this. I'm sending it directly to Dan. He can edit.
God bless you.
Oh, I wonder how huge this thing is. The wave.
You're not sending it. You compress it to a
FLAC.
Yeah, FLAC, whatever. I would say probably, I guess, a 96K MP3 would be decent. Send that to him. You can edit MP3s, and it's not a problem.
Yeah, but Dan is like, you know, Ogg Vorbis. I think you'd prefer Ogg Vorbis over MP3. It's only 72 megabytes. I could.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care.
You don't care.
I'm never going to listen to this episode.
You're not going to listen to any of the other episodes probably either.
I'll listen to a couple episodes probably.
Now that you've been on the show.
I have a few radio shows I listen to, and I just don't have any ambition to find more. I've just so... I listen to many radio shows, and I was kind of done. To some extent. Yeah.
All right. This has been Logger Radio, Episode 8, where we talk about... Wait, no. Goodbye.
What's the outro song?
I don't think we have an outro song.
I'll find an outro song.
Are you giving me an outro song? Fuck.
Outro, intro, song. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Did you just hit your microphone?
No, I threw out one of those cool coasters that absorbs water onto my desk. I think I probably did something to my microphone, too.
Yeah, I think it automatically scales to your voice. Alright. I'm cutting the recording, so I gotta package this all up in Slack, so that's lossless.
I had some pretty bad microphone technique, too. I kept talking away from the microphone.
That wraps up another episode of Logger. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, Logger is released under Creative Commons for Non-Commercial Use license. Feel free to copy, excerpt from, or distribute Logger for non-commercial purposes. The opening music of the show is provided by James Underberg, called The Battle, with sound effects from Blob Wars by Parallel Realities. We'll see you next time.